blessing on it. Father, we thank you so much that you've allowed us to gather today, even this way. I ask that the Holy Spirit empower me with the words that you've given me to share this morning, and especially through the word of the Bible that is ultimately what we need to hear. And so, Father, just bless each one that is hearing these words. Bless each family, bless each home, and bless your servant this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2014, my dad died. As far as I know, he is in heaven. In 2017, my mom died. And as far as I know, she's in heaven. And this year, in 2020, my younger sister died. And as far as I know, she's in heaven. Now, we all have that list. And it may include friends, various family members, parents, siblings, or even children. Well, grief continues for life, but there's comfort to grief when, as best we know, our loved one's in heaven. And that's the main thought of today's message, the comfort of heaven. I have written out notes for today's message, and I have read and reread them so many times. I've got scribbles all over the place. I hope I can make sense of every notation I've made so we can get out everything that God wants us to hear this morning. But in the last three sermons, I've taught about three areas the Bible speaks about regarding heaven. The first one a few weeks ago was about our new bodies that we'll have in heaven. I next taught about the reward of heaven. And last week was the choice of heaven. And this morning, it's the comfort of heaven and what the Bible says about that. Well, obviously, heaven will be a tremendous comfort when we get there. And in fact, most of the time when we think about heaven, when we talk about heaven, that's where our comfort comes, is the idea of what's to be next when we leave this earth. But did you realize that heaven can be a comfort to us right now, for the whole time we're living on this earth? We've all lost people that are close to us. And sometimes what we'll say as a way to comfort ourselves, we say, we know they're in a better place. We say things like, we will see them again. Or, we know we'll be with them for eternity. These are some of the things we say that are comforts of heaven while we're living on this earth. This morning, the country song I'm using for this God and Country series, the lyrics are from a song sung by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton. The name of the song is When I Get Where I'm Going. When I Get Where I'm Going. So as I read these lyrics, just imagine and how country artists, songwriters, singers, how they can put into words and sing so beautifully stories that just bring vivid pictures and videos to our minds. So as I'm reading these lyrics, maybe it's a song you've never heard, try to picture what the writer, what the singer is trying to imagine. Here's the lyrics. When I get where I'm going on the far side of the sky, the first thing I'm going to do is spread my wings and fly. I'm going to land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get to where I'm going, They'll only be happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I've carried all these years. And I'll leave my heart wide open. I'll love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get to where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I'm going to walk with my granddaddy, and he'll match me step for step. I'll tell him how I missed him every minute since he left, and then I'll hug his neck. Yeah, when I get to where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I've carried all these years. And I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get to where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. So much pain and so much darkness in this world I stumble through. All these questions I can't answer. So much work to do. But when I get to where I'm going, I will see my Maker's face. I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Well, what a positive song. The lyrics anticipate heaven. Heaven is full of life, the song says, not death. It's full of joy, not sadness. It's full of light, not darkness. It's full of victory, not defeat. It's full of love and not fear. That's what the song says, but you know, that's exactly what the Bible says. When a person close to us dies, the range of emotions are from A to Z. I'm wondering if you could come up with one word. And maybe you'll do this while you're watching. Come up with one word. Someone that has been close to you has died. What one word describes your emotion? Maybe you can put that in the comment box. I'll wait just a few seconds to see if anyone wants to respond. Some of the words I've come up with, and there are hundreds more. People might feel anger, fear, loneliness, regret. They might feel anxious or depressed. And some will feel peace or even relief. But my heart goes out to all who've experienced loss, and especially those who've lost a child. There's no words from my lips to bring comfort, but I can only hope the words from God can provide the daily strength needed to wake up and to get up every day. Well, believers, God's children, are precious to Him, and He carefully chooses the time they will be called into His presence. Now let that truth comfort you when you've lost a loved one. You see, when someone dies, we know it affects us, but did you know when someone dies, it affects the Lord too? In Psalm 116:15, here's what David says about the Lord. It says this: the Lord cares deeply when His loved ones die. So we think the only one really feeling bad is us. But you know, God Himself is attending that funeral of that loved one too. And especially those that are His children. It bothers Him as well. And yet He knows that He's brought them home at just the right time. Well, here are more words from Scripture that bring comfort at a time of death. It's in a section of Psalms that's probably the most read at a funeral or at the graveside. The words of this psalm give comfort to us while we're living here on this earth. And you have probably recited these words, read these words, maybe even memorized these words over the years, and they've brought you great comfort living here on this earth. And they are applicable, very applicable for living here on this earth. But have you ever read the words of this famous psalm and considered how they could relate, and I think do relate, to heaven? So while this psalm may not specifically be about heaven, let me bring out the heavenly promises of this familiar psalm. And it will surely give us comfort knowing that this is the experience our loved one is having when they got to where they were going. The psalm, if you haven't guessed it already, is the 23rd psalm. And I'm going to use the translation of King James, because that's the one we're most familiar with when we read, listen to, or study this psalm. So I'm just going to take a line at a time from Psalm 23, the 23rd psalm, and then bring out a heavenly promise. The first part of the psalm says this. It starts like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, can you imagine a time in your life when you had no wants? Probably not as a child. Certainly not as a teenager. And for sure, not even as an adult. Maybe it's only when we reach our golden years, whatever age that is, that our wants tend to diminish. But imagine this. In heaven, we will live eternally without wanting a thing. Now, could that be a comfort for heaven? And again, throughout this whole message, throughout this whole look at Psalm 23 from the perspective of heaven, not only could this be a comfort for us knowing we will go there, but I want you to listen to this if you've lost a loved one, a grandparent, a mom or dad, a brother or sister, a spouse, a child. If those people were believers, a friend, if they were believers, know that this is where they are right now. They're in a place where they want for nothing. Well, here's the second line of that famous psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You've heard the saying, you've said it before, that the grass is greener on the other side. And while we could take that and go 100 different directions about this side of eternity, maybe that phrase could even give us an idea of what heaven's like. The fact that the grass, these green pastures that David talks about, that the Lord makes us lie down in, maybe the grass really is greener. I believe it is greener on the other side of eternity in heaven. The grass there is always green. No worry about a drought like we're having now, the grass turning brown. No worry about the weather causing the grass to go dormant and turning brown. It's always green. It's always beautiful. It's always perfect. And while the Bible does say in Revelation that there'll be no seas in heaven, there will be water. So he leadeth me beside still waters. In Revelation it says that there will be, quote, a river with the water of life, clear and crystal, flowing from the throne of God of the Lamb. The water, the river in heaven, isn't coming from someplace, some water table deep in the earth. It's coming from the throne of God, and it is clear and it is crystal. Wow. Talk about envisioning still waters. The next line in the 23rd Psalm says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, in heaven, not only will we have a body like Christ, but our soul will be restored. That's what the psalm says. And that restoration of the soul can happen on this side of eternity, but I'm also talking about how it will be in heaven, restored perfectly and for eternity. And we will not need GPS like I do on a pretty regular basis. We won't need GPS because God will lead us and we will never be lost. Imagine, if we can, the vastness of heaven. We have no idea of the amount of space we might be able to explore on the other side of eternity, and yet we'll never be lost. Then the psalm goes on to say this: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, and catch this, fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's no fear in heaven. Now, let me say that again. There is no fear in heaven. And if I was saying this in the church building, I would hope to hear several amens. I'm saying this through Facebook. I would hope to see a lot of likes when I say there is no fear in heaven. Just think about the things that cause us fear here on this earth. And just to name a very few: fear of getting sick, fear of being injured, fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of financial problems, fear of loss, fear of, and then you fill in the blank. You already know what you're in fear of right now. Fear of evil. And yet this 23rd Psalm gives us a comfort that in heaven there will be no fear of evil. In heaven, God will be with us in an even more present way than he is here on this earth. For those of us that have accepted Christ as Savior, I've said this a million times, that when we accept Christ as Savior, the instant gift that we get from God is that he sends the Holy Spirit to live in us for the rest of our life here on this earth. But imagine God being with us in an even more present way when we get to heaven. And then lastly, God's rod and staff will be our eternal perfection or protection, which provides us yet even more comfort. And again, be thinking about this. Not only this is a hope for our future, but as we've lost loved ones, this is the environment that they're living in right now. As much as you miss them, would you want them to leave that place and come back to this place? We will see them soon enough. And then the psalm says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Well, at God's table is eternal provision. Eternal provision. You'll never run out of anything for nourishment or something that just tastes good, not in heaven. And it says, we're anointed, which means to be set apart. And you know what? This whole idea of my cup runneth over. On this side of eternity, we talk about, is our cup half full or half empty? In heaven, you won't worry about saying that because your cup will be continually running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how the 23rd Psalm ends. And so again, putting it in perspective of the promises of heaven, goodness and mercy are things we experience now. And that is fantastic. while we're here on this earth. But there's coming a day, and there's already a place where God's grace and mercy will be daily occurrences. God's goodness and mercy will be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I only use those numbers of time, those measurements of time, to help us think about eternity now. In heaven, there'll be no time. You can leave your watch behind. No need to bring your clock with you. Time doesn't exist in heaven. But the essence is that God's goodness and mercy are with us constantly. And then David said, the writer of this psalm, saved the best for last, when he said that there will come a time when we will live with the Lord forever. Well, I do hope that this message has brought you what I had hoped, and that is the comfort of heaven. This comfort is for right now. It's a comfort right now because we can feel good that when our time comes, when the Lord does realize it's time for us to go home, that we have this wonderful place to go to. And these last few messages, this week and the three prior weeks, I've talked about all those positive things regarding heaven. That should help us feel comfort here on this earth. But the comfort of heaven isn't just for us now. You see, when we know that our loved one has left us to go to such a wonderful place, it should give us comfort. And then we can give, listen to this, we can give that same comfort to our loved ones when we die, if they know where we're going. Even during their times of sadness, they can find comfort when they know that we're in a quote-unquote better place. Better place. That's probably the ultimate understatement in all of history. I'm going to finish up now. With death, the choice is yours. With death, the choice is yours. Listen to this. You can choose to die once or die twice. Had you ever thought about this? You can choose to die once or die twice. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. By born once, I mean the physical birth, and by born twice, I mean the spiritual birth, the physical birth as well as the spiritual birth, in which you're born again. That's the phrase that the Bible uses. And born again means spiritually putting your faith in Christ. And if you're not familiar with the phrase born again, or you want to be reminded of what is being born again all about, go to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, and read that story about the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. And one of the things that Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. So to get the comfort of heaven on this side of eternity, to give the comfort of heaven to someone else when we have died, and then knowing where we are, we have to be born again. And just as there are two births, the Bible teaches there are two deaths. One is physical and the other is spiritual. And Jesus did warn that we are to fear the second death more than the first one. Again, the choice is yours. You can choose to die once or die twice. Be born once or be born twice. If you choose to be born twice, you not only benefit yourself, but also your family and your friends. Think of the comfort loved ones will have when they can know that we got to where we were going. and the best way for our family and friends to experience this comfort at your death, at my death, is for them to know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to pray that you have done that, or if not, that you will even now. So, Father, I lift up all those that are hearing this message. And I'm thanking you for those who have already accepted Jesus, your Son, as their Savior. Those who have confessed their sins. Those who have repented and are turning and walking in the right direction. Perfect? By no means. But on the road toward perfection and secure in the hope of heaven. Father, I pray especially then today for those who have not made that decision. Maybe they're still thinking about it. Maybe one of the reasons that they're going to a church or reading the Bible or praying or even watching this message online is they're still trying to figure you out. They're still trying to understand whether or not heaven or hell or God is even real. Well, you can let them know how real you are by speaking to their heart even right now through the Holy Spirit. And if there's one out there this morning that has not made that commitment, you can't remember. You might remember going to church. You might remember saying a prayer as a child. But you don't remember. You don't know if you've ever been born again. Well, then I'd ask you to read John chapter 3. I'd ask you even before that, if you're feeling the call and the pull of Christ, of God, of the Holy Spirit on your heart even right now, and because you're not sure, I pray that you would ask him into your heart this very moment and begin that journey so that you can ultimately get to where we all want to go, and that is heaven. And if you've done that, if you do that, be sure to tell somebody. And if you would, tell me. Send me a private message if you'd like. But it's even better if you publicize and tell the world that you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you know where you're going. I pray it all in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, that you've allowed us to meet, allowed us to hear your word, and even allowed us to be born again. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And like I say when I sign off, be blessed and be a blessing. The part about being blessed is knowing that we're receiving something from God. And the part about being a blessing is to take what we've received and to give it to someone else. So do be blessed and be a blessing.